The savings are scorching during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, everyday essentials, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at omahasteaks.com. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today's episode is a wrap-up of the summertime. And I'm going to share with you the most important thing that you need to focus on now that the summer is over. It's about maintaining that cool summer energy and vibe that caused you to go out and be social in the first place. That's right. I'm going to give a little plug about how if you focus on maintaining and improving your social health in these next 3 to 4 weeks, your fall and your winter will be less gloom, and it definitely is going to be a lot more positive. And the reason why I can confidently say that your fall and your winter is going to be a lot more positive if you focus on your social health is because social health in and of itself increases your physical health and increases your mental health, or it fortifies it. It makes it better. If it's down, it can improve it to more of a moderate baseline level. If you're already feeling really good, it can make you feel even better. And if you're feeling really bad in the dumps and depressed and sad, if you do not focus on your social health or put it as a priority, you will have more of the same. In fact, it's not going to stay the same. It's going to get worse. Everybody knows, especially if you live in a place like I currently live, Utah, the summer is so amazing. Got sun. It almost seems like it's sun all day long. And the fall, it's also amazing because the beautiful colors, you know, the trees are turning, you know, the leaves are turning, I mean, everything just looks so beautiful during the fall time. And then the time change happened. The next thing you know, it's dark when you wake up. It's dark when you come home from work. And it just gets kind of weird. Well, that weirdness has an acronym called SAD. And it's ironic that it stands for seasonal affective disorder, basically depression. Everybody's heard of seasonal depression. I've done podcasts about it in the past. But this year, I'm going to do a podcast just giving you a little heads up, the best prescription I could give you, any professional could give you for that seasonal depression isn't medication, it's social connection. That's right. Your social health is the number one determining factor if you're going to be able to maintain good mental health during the transition from summer to fall and into winter. Now, there's a lot of biological reasons why we get seasonal affective disorder. I won't go into those, but you can just use your favorite AI and just type in, what is seasonal affective disorder? Actually, you know what? Take it back. I'm going to do it right now for you to cut out the middleman. I've got one of those AI apps. Let's do it live right here. Give me the definition of seasonal affective disorder. Oh, this real live chat access. Here we go. Seasonal affective disorder. Some of the key features, symptoms, mere major major depression, such as low mood, loss of interest in activities, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, changes in sleep and appetite, and feelings of hopelessness. Did you notice appetite, sleep? Those are more physical things. It's interesting that major depression, aka seasonal affective disorder, mirrors those. Okay, next one, seasonal pattern. Symptoms consistently occur during a specific time of year, most often in the winter. Of course, get less sunlight. Biological factors, reduce sunlight exposure, which can disrupt circadian rhythms, serotonin levels, and melatonin regulation. Awesome. So if seasonal affective disorder disrupts serotonin, and it throws you off in that way, social health is the proper prescription. Now, granted, you can go out and get some, I believe it's called blue lights. I forget what the actual company is called. I was going to give a shout out to a company that a couple of my clients have used. But it just helps you to deal with that issue because when we don't have as much sun, like it says, it throws off your sleep rhythm. However, one of the major things that's going to get you down and is going to get you, it's going to cause you to stay up late at night is also going to be your relationships. Now, let me give you the definition of social health in case you haven't caught this definition in past podcasts. The definition, the working definition of social health is one's ability to build, maintain, and improve mutually beneficial relationships with, but not limited to, your family, your friends, online relationships, relationships with your technology, relationships with your past, your present, relationship with your community, relationship with your environment, all while improving the relationship with yourself. Now, I added a few extra ones in there because the list is very long. So we just like to, I usually just put a couple of the main ones in there that you need to focus on in order to improve your social health. But in essence, I've hinted towards this before, made little comments and drops before in the podcast. But in essence, the reason why our social health is primary and even more important than our physical well-being and our physical needs, even like the sunlight aspect, because the sunlight, you know, you can't change the sunlight. If you live in Utah, it's just, it is what it is. Now, if you live by the beach or if you live in a warmer climate, you know, that might be a little bit different, but here in Utah or even places like Washington, Oregon, there's certain states that they just don't get a lot of sunlight. It's just something that you have to live through. Well, the best way to live through that is to make sure that you're doing the things that increase your serotonin, that increase the other factors of your body. When I say factors of your body, other factors of the health systems in your body, for example, your sleep, it's hard to get good sleep when you're fighting and arguing with loved ones. But it's also hard to get good sleep because the distractions of this relationship with your technology. You can't see me, I'm holding up my cell phone. So what I want you guys to do to help improve your mental and mood and with your mental state and your mood state this coming winter, I want you to focus on a couple of very important social health tips. Tip number one, coming from summer to fall time, all the activities that you love to do during the summertime, try to do them as long as possible or try to do a winterized version of them. I had a couple of kids who are big skateboarders. They hate the wintertime because like, oh, the skateboard park's going to be closed or, you know, the weather's not going to be as good. Well, a couple of them were very ingenious and one bought a ramp and then they put it indoor at their house. Another one made a ramp, put it inside their garage. Why was this so important for them? And this was just last year and the year before. Why was it so important for them to keep up their social health? A couple of different reasons. One, when they were riding their skateboard, that is a good memory. It's a good feeling. They were able to connect with all the great times that they had during the summer. Two, they were able to invite their friends over to skateboard with them. Now, these same kids I'm referring to, they're also big video game players, but they admitted the year before, because they weren't seeing me just because they had nothing better to do, they're seeing me because they're struggling with depression, found out that they had a lot of seasonal affective disorder this last winter, and it's pretty typical for them, but especially since they hit the teenagers, it started to get a little bit worse. Their parents told me, and the kids admitted that what they do during the wintertime to get over the fact that they can't skateboard as much is he plays skateboard video games and other video games online. Well, that obviously is a problem because he's not outside doing anything. He's not breaking a sweat. He's not getting physical exercise. So he's not getting rid of those endorphins and the adrenaline of pulling off a good trick or sticking a good trick, right? So this past year, well, it was two different kids past 2 years. They just focused on maintaining skateboarding as their way to connect with their friends. And because they were one of the only kids that had a ramp at their house, all the friends came to their house. The parents are like, wow, this is great. Kids are at my house, know what my son's doing, make sure he's not doing something nefarious or a little shady. And they noticed that it had a drastic increase. In fact, they said it was at least 50% better mood than it was the year before. So the year before, they ranked his mood like about a 25. And they said this past winter is about a 75. Was it perfect? Was it great like it was during the summer? No, but it was a significant difference. So you need to be creative to maintain what you do during the summertime into the fall, into the winter. If by some chance you just can't do that, if by some chance you're an outdoor player of some sport like soccer or football, Granted, the fall is going to transition into football into the winter, and so you're going to have to play outside and it's cold. But during the winter time, when the football season's done, you're not going to want to go outside and play football anymore. So again, find ways to play football indoors. Well, I know by where I live over here, there's an indoor, it's called Sports City, where you can go there and they have some football classes there. I know sometimes there's just fitness clubs. I see a lot of time at the fitness club what I work at, I see kids running routes and playing quarterback. A lot of times you just got to make it work indoors. Is it as fun? No. Is it as exciting? No. Do you get a suntan while you're doing it? No. But it keeps the energy of your physical activities that you did during the summer and during the fall time going. Another thing, social hangouts and social gatherings. Do not let your kids get locked in on just drifting. I don't know if you guys have ever read a book by Napoleon Hill. If you have not, I wasn't planning on giving a book request or referring a book in this episode, but I feel it's fitting right now. Napoleon Hill is famous for a book he wrote called Think Big and Grow Rich. I believe that's it. Think Big and Grow Rich. Something. I'm beating up the name. I apologize for all the big diehard Napoleon Hill fans, especially the diehard fans of this book, because for a long time it was one of the best, I think the number one selling self-help book. Man, I can't talk to it. Number one selling self-help book for many years. It was written back in the 30s, I believe. Well, Napoleon Hill also wrote another book called Outwitting the Devil. And in this book, it was crazy because it came out in 1935, but his foundation, I believe they just released this manuscript like in 2014, maybe 2015. They sat on it for a long time for some reason. But the reason why I'm suggesting this book and why it's so relevant to what I'm talking about is this book highlights the one thing that he said the devil uses to trap souls and to trap people. Now, a little spoiler alert, he tells this in the first couple of chapters, so it doesn't ruin the book. But he gets kind of like C.S. Lewis, if you've ever read any of his books. In this book, he's able to get the devil who is trying to tempt him and trying to just really feel bad about himself because his whole entire career fell apart. He went from being very successful to losing everything and being suicidal. Well, in the second chapter, he confronts the devil. Somehow he unlocks some sort of secret code It's hard to explain. I don't want to give too much away, but he's able to trap the devil into answering a question from him. And the question that he answers the devil is, what is your number one go-to thing to get people to follow you, to drag them into misery and into hell? And, you know, at first the author was saying like, you know, is it money? Is it this? Is it that? There's all these different things that, you know, he thought it was going to be. However, when he finally got the devil to answer it, and which, by the way, I suggest you guys read this because his depiction of the devil was so good that I actually thought, I'm like, dang, man, did he really interview the devil? Because it's the way I would view the devil. Didn't have pitchforks, wasn't some scary, mean-looking dude. He was a smooth-talking CEO. I imagine he was like some smooth-talking CEO with like hair like mine because I got the hair of a guy that you may not want to trust. Something about my hair, people look at me and go, I don't know about this guy. He seems like he's selling something. And I am selling something. I'm selling happiness. It's a tough sell. So in this book, he nails down the devil to the devil has to answer this question. And the devil's answer to his question, what is your number one trick to get people to be trapped in hell, to follow you down to hell? And he said, oh, it's easier than all those other things that he suggested. It's not money. It's not those other things. All those things are too complex. This one is super easy. And he said, he just causes people to drift. That's it. He said, if someone has purpose, if someone knows that they matter, that their lives benefit other people, that means they're socially interacting with other people and people give them feedback about what they're good at. And then the person gets feedback about what they're good at. Usually the things that they're good at benefit other people around them. So then the person that gets the feedback and the compliments about some talents or something they have, the person goes, wow, people notice me for this? Apparently they like this about me. So then they double down on that and they start to do more of those things. Well, if you're doing things that makes other people's lives better and they appreciate you and they're so thankful for you to be in their life because you add some sort of, uniqueness. Maybe you're funny. Maybe you've got good skills where you can build things. Whatever it is, you provide them with a better life because you're in their life. That is not drifting. When you're connecting with people, you're literally finding out what it is they need, what you can offer, and what it is they offer that you might need as well. These are social contracts that we have in dating relationships, that we have in business relationships. I'm sure most of you guys know some guy out there. Maybe you are one of those guys out there listening to this. But maybe you've dated someone in the past, or maybe you've married someone because something about that person made you look better. I know a couple friends of mine, I'm not going to say their names, but their names are just kidding. I was even going, hey man, I don't know if this is the right girl for you. And they go, no, she's all these amazing things. And I just flat out asked them, I'm like, are you marrying her just because she's really hot? And they're like, yeah, basically. I said, hey, it's okay. As long as you admit it. Those marriages didn't work out so well, by the way, and they've gone through divorce. But the devil makes a good point, or the guy makes a good point in this book, Outwitting the Devil, that it's just drifting, causing people to drift. So social health is very purposeful. Social health is not drifting. I want you to look at your social, or your AKA relationship health, the same way you'd look at your physical health. Okay, this morning I got to wake up, got to drink some water. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I got to call the doctor. Or if it's financial health, I got to check my checkbook. I got to look at my bank account and make sure I've got enough money to pay for this. Oh, I got a late payment fee. I got to pay that fee before I get another fee. These are all things you check boxes and you look for throughout the day. I want you to make a to-do list for your social health. And use AI. Ask AI. I've been talking about social health so much with AI. I'm sure it'll find some of my answers in there. But ask AI. Say, I want to have better relationship health in my life, AKA social health. Can you help me come up with a list of things that if I did on a day-to-day or weekly basis would help me improve my social health? Now, if you have your own AI account, you've done lots of prompts in there, it's probably going to see things you're interested in, and it may give you some ideas based upon things that you've talked about in the past. Ask for physical activities, ask for, events or types of things that you're interested in. Maybe give it some prompts. Say, hey, I'm interested in these types of sports, these types of things. Can you please help me so that I stay socially healthy, specifically through the winter and through the fall and winter months? If you do this, you'll just see something that you overlooked before. We all know that our relationships are important in our life. But all too often we make the mistake of thinking our relationships are limited to just our family or friends and those close intimate relationships. It's not common knowledge for a lot of people that they do have a relationship with their past, with their present, their future. So when you come up with your list of to-dos for your social health, it could include texting a friend. It could include calling someone. It could include texting someone saying, hey, I apologize. I'm sorry. Last year, when we had that, that business meeting or maybe someone you dated, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I handled that. If you don't have to respond to this, I've been thinking about it and I just feel bad about it. We all have, regrets and things that we feel bad about that we just never said we're sorry. We never cleared the air. Now, I'm not saying to go start up old drama with someone. These are situations where you just feel a weight weighing on yourself. I find that the majority of the time when I'm talking to my clients and they open up about their problems that brought them in to see me, very rarely is the stuff that they're telling me is the problem, do we identify as the actual root of the problem. Usually I know, like with myself, if I'm ever mad at my wife, if I'm mad at my kids, but there's not really something that they've done wrong. It's probably just typical stuff they've done in the past. Then I got to stop and I got to ask myself, and this is the relationship with yourself. It's a huge part of your social health. I try to ask myself when I can remember this, I'm not perfect at it, but I try to ask myself, I'm like, why am I so pissed off and irritated right now? And this happened to me just the other day. I was irritated with my wife with something. I was irritated with my kids with something. And it came to find out as I started to talk to my wife, I stopped myself and I said, you know what? Hold on a second. Let me do what I tell my clients to do. And she looked at me, she goes, what do you mean? I'm like, Let me see if this is actually what I'm really mad about or if there's something else. Because I was trying to defend a point that made literally no sense. And I was honest with myself and I realized this is not a good arguing point. What am I doing? And I realized that what I was mad at my wife about all had to do with me and my failures. See, I have a lot of regrets this summer. I made some plans to do some things, to help my son out with some things, to focus on some things with my daughter. And I wanted to do it weekly. And I literally did one thing with my daughter. And I did this one thing with my son. And I was going to do it like weekly with my daughter and multiple times a week with my son. I realized at the end of the summer, last week when we were getting ready for school, I had a lot of anxiety and agitation. I was frustrated and I didn't know why. Come to find out, it's because I didn't use the summer to connect with my kids the way I wanted to. So I got down and out and I told my wife, I blew it. I screwed up. It's all my fault. I went from arguing with her to like just shaming the crap out of myself. And she's like, whoa, time out. I didn't like it when you were talking bad about me, but now you're like really going hard on yourself. And she reminded me of what I'm telling you in this podcast. She said, so because the summer's over, you can't do it anymore. I said, no, I wanted to do it. But then I realized if I did it during the school year, that'd be even more impressive. So this week, I've already done it once with my daughter, or in this past week, and I've already done it once with my son. And I feel a whole lot better. Because I have a better relationship with myself right now, because I actually did something for my kids that improves our social connection between the two of us, I feel less resentful towards myself. I feel less guilty. I feel proactive. Like, yeah, I only did it once, but at least I'm starting the fall off right, even though I didn't do it right during the summer. Now, this is my own personal experience, what I'm sharing with you guys, but I just wanted you guys to see how that connects to a lot of times people leave the summertime with great vibes and great feelings, and they just can't keep it going on throughout the fall or winter. And it's simply because they just didn't make it a priority. You balance your checkbook every day. If you guys are into health and fitness, I know a lot of people listen to my podcast. They're diehard into their nutrition, their workouts. Imagine if they put that same action list and planning into their relationship health. Well, they'd get the same results. They would have not just a six-pack on their body, but they'd have a six-pack in their relationships. Five other friends to go hang out with, closely connected. I'm trying to use the whole six-pack metaphor, but you get what I'm saying, right? So social health will help you slide into the fall, slide into the winter, instead of falling like a sack of potatoes into the fall and a sack of potatoes in the winter. But you got to make it a priority. Come up with your list. Use AI, especially if you have your own AI account. It's going to take from some of your other interests. But if you're not used to using AI, try to prompt it like, hey, I want to put together a list of things that's going to help me with my relationship health, aka social health. Here's all my interests. Here's the things that I usually get sad and depressed about during the wintertime. Could you help me come up with something like that? And you'll be surprised what it can help you come up with. It'll give you about 80 to 85% there. You're going to have to fine tune it and tweak it, but it's definitely going to get some ideas. And I encourage your friends to do it. I have some of my teenagers do it, and then they have their friends do it, and it becomes like a little contest between them. So if you can get other people to do the same thing with you, it's just going to validate what you're doing, and it's going to help it because they're working on it, you're working on it, you guys can talk about it together. Well, until next time, you guys, as always, follow us on all social media platforms. Well, not all of them, not Facebook and not Snapchat, so I should say IG, Instagram, and TikTok. Also, follow us, the Social Health Initiative as well on those platforms. And until next time, be cool.